I happen to have three cats that are all named after characters in the Sopranos television show. So, you know, this is your upper sideband, your lower sideband. So what we're talking about is basically wiping that out. And in doing so, the reason for it and the goal here is to reduce the effect of Multipath. Now, you have to give the disclaimer because, you know, I've talked about this a few times, I've written about it, and for whatever reason, you know, the gremlins out in the world, you know, hidden word meaning competitors, they like to try to say, oh, Fodi says you can eliminate Multipath. No, we've never said we're going to eliminate Multipath. The goal here is to reduce Multipath. Multipath is something that's there, we know why it exists, and we also know the factors that will contribute to it. I mean, you know, one of the reasons why that if you're in a Multipath situation, you happen to have a radio, we can switch it to mono and you hit it to mono, all or most of it goes away is because you've eliminated that upper sideband, or I'm sorry, you've eliminated the L-R region. So our goal here is Multipath reduction. And basically we're talking about a stereo generator that's utilizing single sideband suppressed carrier. When in essence we're reducing that range from 53 kilohertz of a maximum frequency down to 38 kilohertz. The way we're able to do this is because the level of the L-R is equally spread in the 23 to 53 kilohertz range, is when we switch to single sideband, in order to make sure that the decoding of the stereo information in the radio remains the same, we obviously have to boost the audio level in the lower sideband by 6 dB. Now, also there are a couple benefits that are here for us that are also in the receiver side. And while I'm going to show here later on in the presentation about the signal-to-noise improvement that can happen in a receiver when you're transmitting single sideband, and at the same time that the radio is only utilizing a single sideband decoder. In theory, the signal-to-noise floor improvement is around 4 dB, but actually, to what the ear is going to hear, it's greater than that, and you'll see why that's going to be in a little bit here. Sound performance-wise, and we'll have a demonstration to share with you, there's no difference. What's left is left, what's right is right. And we'll be able to do that. Now, you may be wondering, well, why? How is this happening? The reduction is to Multipath is on account, really, it's an RF function. We're reducing the RF bandwidth. We're reducing the number of sideband pairs. And when you think about FM, you know, the sideband pairs from the main carrier are derived from the highest transmit frequency, you know, which basically, you know, that, you know, all that stuff that we had to, for those of us that did the first class and second class FCC licenses, used to have to figure out, you know, the number of sideband pairs. This is what comes into play. Because of the fact that we're taking, you know, we're shrinking the multiplex signal down from 53 kilohertz to 38 kilohertz, there's obviously less sideband pairs, and it's those sideband pairs that are the things that, as they start to bounce off of buildings and hills and trees and things of that nature, that's where the annoyance comes in the radio. There are a few other benefits, some that are actual benefits for international broadcasters, like in Europe, where the channel spacing, you know, here we have a luxury. Our channel spacing is 200 kilohertz. In Europe, it's 100 kilohertz. And some, matter of fact, they even have some laws on the books in Europe that are designed to further reduce the effect of adjacent channel interference, where they modulate the same peak level, but the density of the modulation is radically controlled using this ITU limiting system, to where the RMS power level of the multiplex signal cannot exceed 19 kilohertz. Now, what you may be wondering, well, what is, you know, like, what if we did that in America? Well, let me tell you, if you put on one of those multiplex power limiters in a stereo generator here in America, your average loudness on the air will drop about 12 dB. But those are some of the things that they do abroad as a way to try to keep the band sounding as clean as possible with regard to interference. This also would be of benefit to them. In the area of RDS, SCA, and HD radio, obviously shrinking the bandwidth of the multiplex signal would afford additional protection. The technology is compatible with existing modulation monitors. It's compatible with radios. There is less harmonic content generated if composite processing is employed, because there's less composite harmonics that are going to get spread out, you know, and also add to those sideband pairs. Increased protection of conventional analog signal with regard to the HD radio power increase. And this was something that when I was thinking about this and trying to bring it to light, I didn't even think, mentioned, didn't even occur to me. This was brought to my attention by one of the transmitter manufacturers, and they felt that, you know, with HD, there have been some radios that do get annoyed due to the added power increase of HD radio. To do it, it's just a selectable feature in a stereo generator. You just flip a switch, and there it is. Nothing special, no change of, change of equipment in the sense you need a stereo generator that has the ability to do it, but it's, it, you know, making it happen is literally like the push of a button. So let's talk about RF bandwidth here. By example, here is a 75 kilohertz deviated FM signal using a Bessel null tone. So this will give us, let's say, our mask with regard to what 75 kilohertz deviation would be. Now, for the sake of discussion and to show the difference in channel bandwidth, this here is a single channel only of 15 kilohertz, left channel only. And there's a reason why I'm using 15 kilohertz in the single channel. That's because this is the maximum stress, if you will, of the multiplex signal. And by stress, I mean you have actually three components. You have 15 kilohertz, which is in the L plus R domain. You have 23 kilohertz, which is the lower, the maximum part of the lower sideband, because it's 38 kilohertz minus 15. And then you have 53 kilohertz, which is 38 plus 15. So on account of that, here we have the maximum number on this tone of sideband pairs that are going to be generated, and this is going to be the RF spectrum that's going to be leaving your antenna. This is the exact same signal, but now we're doing only single sideband. And if anything, what we've done is when you think about it, because of the fact that we've eliminated that 53 kilohertz component, and we've got just two components, 15 and 23, you can see how much the bandwidth has been pulled in. So what this means is that, I'll find this, but all the stuff that's been reduced here is less stuff to bounce off of buildings and create time delays and annoyances in the receiver, which is where the problems come about. This guy is a little movie. Here we go. This here shows what will happen. It's the same signal at 15 kilohertz, double sideband. That's switching to single sideband. So that's real world. The others were simulations done in MATLAB, but this here was actually, you know, coming off of an FM exciter. Next. In order to do a single sideband generator, and I've been asked a number of times, well, you know, you guys have been doing audio processors for a long time, and why didn't you do this long ago? And actually, this idea, you know, this is not another, let's say, disclaimer. This is not Frank Foti's idea. Frank and the Omnia guys were, you know, we brought this to life, but actually the idea was brought to me in 1997 by, at the time, really, a guy who was leaving a competitor, with Bill Gilman. And Bill had given a paper on this topic at the NAB. And he said, you know, Frank, I think there could be some advantages to this. And I read his paper, and I agreed with him. And at the time, when I started adding up what it would take to do, you know, the single sideband generator as part of the stereo generator, we didn't have enough cycles in the DSP world to do it. And, you know, that was through the life of a couple of our audio processors. Well, as I was working on the last one, and, you know, now we have a wealth of, you know, manpower, machine power inside, I revisited the concept, and I was able to bring it to life. And right away, you know, there are some people said, oh, but, you know, if you do a single sideband generator, you know, there's overshoots that are going to happen. And this, by the way, was one of the reasons why those folks that have attempted this, in years prior. In the analog world, they had some challenges with it because the ability to create a single sideband generator that doesn't generate peaks, added peaks, and I'm going to go through the reasons why here in a moment, it was next to impossible to control the overshoots that the single sideband generator did. Well, what you know, being able to do things in the digital domain, and we have access to functions that are, you know, as close to perfect as possible mathematically, you know, everything changed. Now, what we have here is if we do have to, in a way to eliminate one of the sidebands, we do have to employ a 90-degree phase shifting network. And when we do that, if you look for a moment here, let's say we took a square wave, this blue square wave, we'll call this our initial blue square wave, and we run it through, let's say, a Hilbert transform, which will take all frequencies and shift them exactly 90 degrees, we will get these level of overshoots, this red signal. Well, an interesting thing happens. If we take this signal here and run it through another Hilbert transform, we get this green guy over here, which means gone are the overshoots. So for those that are out there that have wanted to, you know, debate and say, oh, you're going to have overshoots, you're going to have this, you're going to have that, a little bit of homework or further reading by those that wish to debate the topic will probably learn about this. Now, in the real world, because we don't transmit square waves to listeners, well, depending on your level of audio processing, I guess, this here is a real-world signal of a composite that's running single sideband. And as you can see, there are no overshoots. And if you're thinking, well, Frank, you've got some hidden composite clipper in there, the answer is no, we don't. It all comes down as to the way we've implemented the single sideband generator and being able to manage the networks and understand what's causing things in the process that, you know, numerically we're able to eliminate what would be thought to be a problem is really no problem at all. And, you know, when you think about it, and I've had this debate with another well-known audio processing developer who is a genius in his own right, you know. And I'm speaking of Mr. Orban, who I guess will be giving a talk here in a couple of days. I said, you know, Bob, you came up with a way to eliminate overshoots and low-pass filters back in the 1970s in the left-right channels, and the peaks were very well controlled, and there was no, you know, degradation of the audio. What's not to think that we can't do the same thing here? And so, in essence, some of the things that were done before can be done again, but we've got much, much better precision in the form of how we go about doing it. So we do have some audio that we can share with you. The first test I want to provide is we're going to play a little bit of music that has a lot of stereo in it, and you'll see there will be a spectral analysis up on the screen that will be going along with it, and you'll see it go from double sideband to single sideband and back. And the audio is in stereo. It's a Beatles song. And what I did was I created the signal in the multiplex, and then I basically ran it through a stereo mod monitor and then pulled it off of that, which is as close to what you're going to have in listening to a radio as possible. The audio sample is a Beatles song called I'm Looking Through You. I think we're all of the same age demographic to know that, you know, those old Beatle records for stuff like this are perfect. It's the guy singing over here and the band over here. So we're going to take advantage of that here. So here we go.
I'm looking through you. Where did you go? I thought I knew you.
No, it's just a single side.
What did I know? You don't look different, but you have change. I'm looking through you. You're not the same.
Back to double sideband.
Moving, I cannot hear.
Okay, boys. Thank you. All right. next, and what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go through some items that have been brought up where people have thought, well, what, you know, are we going to have anything that's going to degrade conventional broadcasting? You know, what about receivers? How's it going to play in receivers? What's it going to be like in the real world? So one of the first things I did, and I did go to NPR Labs in Washington, and I know this is going to sound like a shameless plug, but John Keane and his crew at National Public Radio, they have an RF test bed laboratory that is very, very good. I mean, I know they've done a lot of work for some of the transmitter manufacturers. They did a lot of the testing for HD radio. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to spend some time and create what would be a good test to determine the single sideband degrade the existing FM service in any way, shape, or form. So I got with John, and he had some tests in mind, and what we did was they have a multipath simulator, and this multipath simulator, they can put in various contours to simulate like mountain ranges, big buildings, and all this other kind of stuff. So what they did was they called up some of the profiles that they had done for HD radio testing, and they pulled up some of the radios that they did use in that. And the beauty of this is that the actual test is repeatable. So it was a 28-second predictable and repeatable segment. So we knew precisely what was happening from one test to the other. And what the simple test we did was we stuck 1 kilohertz in one channel and unmodulated the other channel such that any annoyances would be showing up in the other channel, the right channel. And we, you know, captured that, you know, audio segment. So next we'll hear, and basically you can see there's, you know, this here's our left channel. You can see the little hits from all the path. Obviously, you know, if we had perfect signal, there'd be, you know, this would be a flat line. So this is the multipath hits. And let's see, no, okay. I can find the, play the audio segment. Oh, here we go. Ah. Somewhere in here is an audio file. Oh, there it is. Whoop. In any case, you get the idea. There's some little hits going on there, and those hits are multipath. The next one is going to be single sideband, so I have to go find a little file here. And basically, what we found was that the effect to be about the same. I mean, there's multipath was introduced into the signal, so it was there. The goal was, would the single sideband signal be any worse? And we both came away with the feeling that it was not any worse. Next, we started some infield testing, and it was, you know, me and some of the gang at our company. So we set up, you know, a little illegal radio station in downtown Cleveland, and created basically a route where we would drive this route at a consistent speed, the same speed, and we set it up where we had somebody that would start the same segment of music. So we were hearing the same audio as we drove over the same area, and we captured the audio from a receiver, put it to a computer, same content was used, the same route and speed. And it's, again, a Beatles song, Think for Yourself. I think I'd do the same, gotta go find a little audio file. And this is, the first one we're gonna hear is the double side. About the good things that we can have if we close our eyes. Do what you want to do. And go where you're going to. Think for yourself, cause I will be there with you. you may have heard the audio kind of fade in and out a couple times. Next is single sideband. Okay, fight me, why don't you?
About the good things that we can have if we close our eyes. Do what you want to do.
To my ear, there was a little bit there, but not as exaggerated as in the prior file. So not to make this a situation that was just a one-off because I'm the guy up here talking about it, the folks at Greater Media in Boston, they did the same test, and some of you may have seen this because it was put up on YouTube, but they took it to a higher level. And what they did was they set up a route where they knew they had multipath and signal problems, and they put a camera on the dashboard and captured audio, and then they drove this route. And you can actually see, you know, the route of what's happening. And they on one day they did it in double sideband, and the next day they did it in single sideband. And even though it's done over a couple of different days, they did mention to me that they had done this test repeatedly over the course of a week, going back and forth between double sideband and single sideband, and the single sideband. Well, rather than me telling you, I'll let you see how it played out with regard to their test. And this here's an overview of what they did and how they did it. And, you know, those of you who may or may not be aware, you know, the gang of Greater Media, they stop at nothing when it comes to engineering, doing things top-notch. You know, Milford Smith is the head of the NRSC. I mean, this is, you know, they're major players. So here's the double sideband example. I mean, I can let it go the rest of the way, but I think at this point you have the idea as to what's happening. Next, this is single sideband. Now, it's obvious that there's still some annoyance there, but I don't know about you, but when something goes from being totally unlistenable and a tune-out to being something that you can at least hear, that's an advantage. I can add to this story, the call letters escape me, but it's a Class A station in Fresno, California. There's a section of Fresno that where the population is growing and some shopping centers had gone in, and for whatever reason, their signal was not getting into that part of Fresno. They tried a different antenna. They moved the antenna. They tried all kinds of things. No difference. Earlier last year, they purchased one of our audio processors, and they said, you know what, let's just try this thing. Can't hurt. All of a sudden, they've got signal that people in their homes and in businesses are now hearing. Again, my point is, if we're able to deliver something to the listeners that improves their experience, you win. And if you win, then I win. And right now, I'm not talking about this about me winning. I'm talking about doing things so that you win. Because if the broadcast, if things in the world of broadcasting are made better, when you've got challenges from so many different places in this day and age, you know, you need every little piece of ammunition that you can get. Let's talk about the receiver for a moment. On the receiver side of life, you know, the receiver is dealing with your L plus R and this double sideband decoder of L minus R. And the FM transmission process introduces noise at 6 dB per octave as it goes up the spectrum. So the area where we're going to see the most amount of noise effect is the upper sideband. What ends up happening is if we eliminate this guy, the broadband noise reduction when transmitting single sideband and decoding only single sideband, there's an improvement of about 4 dB. What I learned is that there's a hidden benefit. And the hidden benefit is that the signal to noise improvement in the high frequency range is on the magnitude of 10 dB. And the reason being is if you remember the noise floor going up, you know, in that 6 dB per octave range, the frequency response in the lower sideband is inverted, meaning 15 kilohertz is residing at 23, and your lower frequencies are residing at 38 kilohertz. So now when you decode everything, you're actually going to get a benefit in signal to noise on the higher frequencies. And it's not, now we're not dealing in the average of 4 dB, but 10 dB. 10 dB is something that you can hear as a difference. So what I did was I created a little test where I had a single sideband generator, and I was able to introduce a noise signal that was increasing at 6 dB per octave, and then I inserted it in with, or mixed it into the multiplex signal, and then decoded the same signal where I had the decoder being a double sideband decoder or single sideband decoder, and I was able to watch the noise. And what you have here is here's our fundamental in the left channel, and you'll see where it shows up in the spectrum analyzer, and here's our right channel where there's nothing, and the same here. And as this little movie gets going, at some point we'll introduce some noise, and right now the receive side is going to decode in double sideband. There we go. Here's our noise floor. And in a moment or so, you'll see this just drop. And by the way, this gradient here is about 20 dB range. There you go. Now we're decoding in single sideband. This here, this range here, that's the hiss the ear hears. That's the hiss. So what we've now done is we've now improved the sound performance, the, you know, in some ways, I don't say the dynamic range, but the signal to noise performance of stereo reception. But again, this is transmitting single sideband and then decoding single sideband. And if you're wondering, well, you know, is this something the receiver folks would be interested in? The answer is yes. I've talked to a couple of them that have even said that they have the ability today to make the receiver that would be smart enough to determine what type of transmission was coming in. If it was to sense a single sideband only transmission, then it would be able to switch the decoder side so that this improvement in signal to noise would be realized. Activities to date. By law, you know, and I've read the rules. The rules state that we have to transmit single sideband suppressed carrier. What I did do is, in a couple of years ago, is I called upon some friends who knew some people, you know, as they called it, the boys in D.C., and they asked them, you know, about what did they think of this concept of utilizing single sideband to be put on the radio. And the FCC, I'd written a very casual white paper and was shared with them. And they came back with the feedback that said, you know what, yeah, there's a lot of formality and testing and all that kind of stuff, but since we the government, don't feel that, you know, if anything, you're removing some signals as compared to adding some signals, we don't see any problems, go get some ad hoc information. Come back with us with some details. So the government will authorize experimental authorizations to broadcasters. It's on the air now in many markets. The feedback has been very positive. As I showed in some of the earlier slides, there's no overshoots in the stereo generator. It works with conventional radios. We've been doing some lab testing at NPR. There's more that's about to be done. I have a design for single sideband decoder that I, you know, as I was telling somebody at lunch, I'm not in this to make money on this idea. I'm in it to hopefully help broadcasting. So if there's a way that helps radio, you know, broadcasters in the receiver side, you know, it probably helps ensure that our business, meaning the radio broadcasting business, and for goofy geeks like me that make the gear for radio broadcasters, that we'll be able to do this for a while. And let's see, a few other, you know, just little items here that have come about with respect to our activities to date. I do want to talk a little bit towards the bottom here, because, you know, there are some doubting Thomases out there, and I've just said to them, guys, why does it work? You know, I mean, you claim there's going to be overshoots, there's no overshoots. You claim that, you know, it's not going to be compatible with existing receivers, it is. And I'm actually going to play you a sample here in a couple moments from some testing we did with supposedly what's supposed to be the most challenged receiver that's supposed to be able to pass a single sideband signal. I also want to address something, because I had someone ask me, they said, you know, somebody had an idea that if we do some dynamic limiting to the L minus R, we, you know, that in and of itself would reduce multipath. And I gave some thought, and I did some testing, and I don't agree with it, and I'm going to explain why. When multipath happens, this spectrum here, the upper sideband, is the first section that's going to get hit. That's going to be the first one to be affected. So I've kind of like shaded this in over here. And if we were to do some dynamic reduction of the L minus R, this is the same signal, but we've dropped the L minus R signal by, let's say, 3 dB, we still have a spectral range that's going to get interfered with. Whereas in the single sideband area, you know, there's nothing there to be interfered with. And again, thinking about the whole issue with regard to spectrum, this here is double sideband suppressed carrier, normal L minus R of a single channel only tone. This is the same signal where the L minus R has been reduced in double sideband by 3 dB. And again, here's the single sideband where normal L minus R, and the bandwidth here is still much less than in the area where we've reduced the L minus R by 3 dB. So it does stand to reason, and performance has shown that the single sideband signal is less prone to be affected by multipath. Here's something that I wish to point out. When multipath first occurs, it's the upper sideband that gets hit. So I did a test where I was able to create, again, left channel only. I believe this is 15 kilohertz, and this should have nothing in it over here if we're doing one single channel only. What I did was I was able to introduce a 5 microsecond delay. That's a very short amount of delay to the upper sideband only, which is the same condition that will happen at the initial onset of multipath. Notice that the separation has dropped by about 20 dB. This here is the, you know, we should have left channel only, nothing here. Here's your spectrum, and this is the remnant that fell into the right channel. The same situation with a 5 microsecond delay, but now, you know, we've removed the upper sideband. Notice that the stereo separation remains intact. So this here helps further prove the reason why eliminating that upper sideband is of benefit in stereo performance. There's been a couple people that have gone on the internet that have tried to say, you know what, this FOTI concept is all whacked. You know, I mean, this is, you know, that they've even gone so far as to run all these stereo separation tests that they simulated as to how bad single sideband was going to be. So I said, you know what, I'm not just going to accept their data. I went out and I found the exact same test equipment, the exact same receivers, and I ran the tests myself. My, what a difference. Now, this here is somebody I need to modify my comment here. They were taking test data out of a receiver and they did not have a stereo generator. So they were calculating the stereo separation based upon the IF response of, you know, basically inserting various tones at different frequencies across the FM spectrum. And I kept debating with this person. I said, no, you need to do an end-to-end full complete system test. That's the complete system test. So, you know, I welcome people that have thoughts and opinions on the tech, but if you want to debate it and you want to test it, you know, everything has to be done apples to apples, and that's on that one. The same person was trying to claim that the Sony XDR-F1 HD receiver, which uses a quadrature detector to mask multipath, that the sound performance would become degraded in single sideband, that it would only go to mono. So yours truly went and found the receiver, you know, set up the, again, using a full single sideband stereo generator where I could switch back and forth and an exciter and do what you know, broadcasters are going to do, and this is the performance. There is some degradation in single sideband, but you'll see it doesn't shift to mono.
I'm looking through you, where did you go? I thought I knew you, what did I know? You don't look different, but you have changed. I'm looking through you, you're not the same.
Probably didn't realize it switched, I think, like about four different times there. I mean, probably in a much more closer listening environment or in headphones, you'd hear more of the effect, but the radio does play in stereo. So basically, I like to feel and believe that some of the folks that wish to debate, and who knows, maybe this would be a better debate than the Republicans and the Democrats, you know, as we go between now and early November. By the way, if you're wondering, my neighborhood, there's a lot of people have the Republican sign in their yard, and my other neighbors have the Democrat sign in my yard. My sign, I got a sign that says Vito Corleone and Tony Soprano. So we'll see. If you're wondering where are we going next, there's more testing to be done, obviously. You know, some continued work on the receiver side. We're going to begin doing some testing in the lab to see if there is any effect with or without HD radio signals, continuing to capture controlled test audio signals in the field. The NRSC has embraced the topic. They've instituted what they call, an FM task group, you know, and we've got, I think our next meeting is in a couple of weeks, and we're going to be getting ready to actually go back into the laboratory and do some co-channel interference testing. And, you know, as that continues to evolve, you know, and once again, if anyone, you know, here in the audience today, if you wish to become involved, you know, the NRSC, they, you know, it's basically open to everyone, you know, and especially broadcasters. So, you know, that's always a welcome thing. Let's see, since I know we're getting down near the end here. I do need to share a story because there are people that have said about certain technologies over the course of time that it'll never work. You know, they said that FM radio in general would never work in a mobile environment. And we know that's not true. And once upon a time at Bell Labs, I have to share a story about a dear friend of mine who, you know, this was about, I want to say about 60, 70 years ago, Bell Labs had some scientists and engineers that were researching what, if anything, could be done to improve side tone distortion on long distance lines. And they worked on this for years, and they couldn't come up with an answer. And so much so that they were commissioned to write a paper as to why it would not work. And they did. They came up with about a 10-page paper, seven of which were equations about why this would never, ever work. Did I say ever? Okay. Well, about mid-80s, a long-haired kid who was working at WFBQ in Indianapolis and knew a little bit about telephones and was experimenting with something called digital signal processing. His name was Steve Church. And Steve read these papers because he was a talk show host and chief engineer, and he hated the sound of the hybrids. And Steve went and found a way to, remember, they said it would never, ever work. And Steve developed a hybrid that became, you know, commonplace in broadcasting to this very day. So that's why when people tell me, Frank, this will never work, or you can't do this, you can't do that, it's almost like stoking my steam engine boiler, because I do know that it'll work, and we've shown this. And as I start to wrap this up, I want to share some thoughts from another Steve regarding topics of this nature.
You tend to get told that the world is the way it is, and your life is just to live your life inside the world, try not to bash into the walls too much, try to have a nice family life, have fun, save a little money. That's a very limited life. Life can be much broader once you discover one simple fact, and that is everything around you that you call life was made up by people that were no smarter than you. And you can change it. You can influence it. You can build your own things that other people can use. Once you learn that, you'll never be the same again.
So, to Mr. Jobs, I say thank you. And if I may, I'd like to dedicate this presentation today to another Steve who, on account of many of the innovations he brought to our industry, and if it wasn't for my partner Steve Church, whose journey sadly ended a little over a week ago, there's a lot of the great things that we have in broadcasting today that wouldn't be here. I want to thank you all once again. It's always a pleasure to speak up here in Madison. Thank you.